I'd like right now to welcome to the program Carl Kolbe. His documentary film, The Man Nobody Knew, In Search of My Father, CIA Spymaster William Kolbe, opens this week at the Screen here in Santa Fe, and Carl will be at the screening this Wednesday, December 7th at 7 o'clock, doing an introduction and a Q&A. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So this film traces the life of your father, William Kolbe, who eventually became director of the CIA. Why did you decide to make this film? What happened?
Well, I'd always been making profiles of various people throughout my life, and including film on Bob Marley, film on Frank Gehry, a film on Willem de Kooning, film on Franz Kline, a film on George Harrell, and then an Emmy Award winner, a film on Franco Zeffirelli, the Italian film and opera director. So you would have thought that, well, why didn't I do a profile of my father earlier on? But he was the sort of person that if he was alive today, he would talk very intelligently and astutely about, let's say, what's going on in Syria and what's going on in Cairo. But if you started asking him a very personal question about, well, what was his relationship with my mother and how could he describe that, he'd sort of just glaze over. So I never really pursued doing anything about him because I thought it would be frustrating from a personal, revelatory sort of point of view. And then I was watching CNN's coverage of the fall of the Twin Towers on 9/11, and Wolf Blitzer came on and asked James Baker, who'd been Secretary of State, how this happened. And Baker said, I traced this back directly to when William Kolbe testified before the Senate and House intelligence committees in the 70s and revealed the CIA's family jewels, which decimated America's ability to conduct covert action and clandestine activities around the world, leading to disasters just like this. I was sort of really taken aback. I thought, well, my father's been dead 5 years, and now he's relevant again. And then 2 weeks later, I see photographs of CIA operatives sporting beards and wearing turbans and riding camels and horses across the Afghanistan northern territories riding with the Northern Alliance against the Taliban. And I thought, well, that looks like OSS. So I started working on the film around that time.
Explain to us what this term means, the crown jewels.
Well, it's the family jewels or the crown jewels, and what that meant is a lot of the secrets of the CIA, some of the things, particularly the wrongdoing that they'd done from really its inception from the end of the 1940s all the way through the 50s, 60s, and 70s, finally kind of just arrived on the desk of my father when he first became CIA director. They were sort of trying to clear house in a way, you know, and account for everything. And it came at a really bad time because the country was already convulsed with Nixon about to resign and disgrace. And so there was a lot of suspicion in the country. And so the House and Senate committees, senators like Senator Church and Otis Pike, the congressman from New York, and Bella Abzug, they really took it upon themselves to kind of take apart the CIA and, you know, what were we doing and why. And so my father really had to sort of defend the agency. And he did that by revealing a lot of the secrets when the White House wanted him to completely stonewall and not say a thing.
Watching the film, I was thinking, the crown jewels, as they're called, and it's kind of a weird euphemism, I mean, we're talking about highly illegal activities that have nothing to do with gathering intelligence. We're talking about assassination plots, and we're talking about other kinds of torture and secret prisons and things like that that we regular old taxpaying Americans, probably most of us, really don't want happening. And so on the one hand, yeah, it hurt the CIA. On the other hand, these things should not be happening.
Well, these things happen because the president wants them to happen. The misnomer is to think of the CIA as just some rogue operation that does what it wants and is accountable to no one. The truth of the matter and why it's important to see the film is that you see that from the earliest days onward, the presidents order these actions. There's something called a finding, and it goes on today, that when you want to mount a covert operation of any kind, you have the president's physical signature on it. He signs off, and then the helicopters take off and go on the mission. And just to clarify, I mean, this president, Obama, got his hands full with the economy and all, but he's ordering up as much, if not more, covert action than any president since the Kennedys. It's very seductive. It's like a private force. You don't really have to account much to Congress. You have to inform a few committees, and you can deny that you ever did it in the first place. So it's a very tough, tough kind of situation. And you might say, well, let's just not do any of this. Well, all right, you tell me what we shouldn't do. Should we just gather intelligence like a newspaper operation and just let the world go as it goes? I don't know.
Why,
my dad used
what's
to say
wrong
the
with
CIA
that?
Exists so that there's a so the president has a choice between lodging a diplomatic protest and sending in the U.S. Marines.
Again, watching the film, it was so interesting because, okay, you look at Vietnam. Your father went to Vietnam in 1959, and, I mean, clearly a very dedicated public servant is the way he saw himself, and very competent. I mean, most people, I would venture to say, at this point, see Vietnam as a bad idea that turned into a bloody and hopeless morass. He had a very different, what was his perspective on why he was there at the beginning and as his time there evolved?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think what he felt was that the opposition was Ho Chi Minh, who was communist and authoritarian and wanted to dominate the country, the entire country. And so the Americans sort of propped up this President Diem and his brother to sort of run the show down there and give us kind of a holding action. I mean, in the bigger picture, I think we were very afraid of the Chinese and very afraid of the Russians, but particularly the Chinese. What we didn't really understand was that at the time is that the Vietnamese and the Chinese have hated each other for more than 1,000 years. There's no way that they would link up together. But that was sort of a threat that we thought, you know, domino theory, that the whole Southeast Asia would fall.
The example that you just gave is something that we could probably find a half a dozen examples of, where you have these horrible wars that are fought and this basic reality, which should be what the CIA is all about, namely failing to recognize that the Vietnamese and the Chinese don't like each other. I mean, isn't that what intelligence forces are supposed to figure out in the first place?
I would also say, though, who's making the decision to launch the war? The CIA is probably telling, actually, and the State Department was telling the president and the Pentagon in the early 60s and late 50s that the Chinese and the Vietnamese hated each other. But who's listening? Why did the president, why did he override those opinions? It's like now, the National Security Council and President Obama sits in a room and listens to 7 or 8 analysts tell him what's likely to happen in Egypt. Then he has to make a decision. And often the people in the room, hopefully, they've got different opinions, not just a yes man, not just telling him what he wants to hear. And then he's got to make that choice. So, and he does make a choice. And in the case of Vietnam, obviously, Johnson and particularly Johnson, made very bad choices. But it's the president. And if you don't like it, then you ought to let your president know about it.
We're talking to Carl Kolbe about his film, The Man Nobody Knew. Your mother is, I mean, as much as the film is a portrait of your father, it's kind of a portrait of your mother, too. She appears a lot in the film, and she's a loyal and beautiful and clearly very good woman who, it turns out, really, like you, didn't know her husband, your father. The film is called The Man Nobody Knew. What was it like for her and for you to talk about your father? And now it's, what, a good 15 or 20 years after his death?
Yeah, my mother was referred to by James Angleton, who is the famous chief of counterintelligence, legendary in the CIA, referred to my mother as the most loyal CIA wife ever. And I think my mother regarded my father as being on a mission, a mission to bring good into the world, to bring clarity, but also to be forthright and to be moral and to be right. And it had to be right and it had to be good, or it wouldn't pass muster with her. So you don't really think that you're going to see anything about my mother when you walk into the theater. But then you understand that my mother is the underpinning of it all. She even called the CIA euphemistically CIA, Catholics in Action. In other words, like priests, like missionary zealots who went out to make the world a safer place. And it's a fascinating sort of parallel, because then you have somebody who is taking it on faith and trust that what her husband is doing is the right thing. And that's kind of the whole movie in a nutshell. It's a morality tale. And who are you supporting and why? And do you believe in this man? And do you believe in this cause? And then what do you know and what you don't know? And much of what you know, you really don't know, or it's a lie. it's very difficult to support somebody in that mission. So that's kind of the whole kernel of the movie, is this kind of balancing act between, is what's being done lawful, but then also is what's being done right, and is it good, and is it something that Americans do? And those questions are something that I think resonate with audiences today, and I can certainly hear it in your voice that that's what you're most concerned with, is not just the history, but who are we now?
Carl Colby is a filmmaker. His new documentary is called The Man Nobody Knew, In Search of My Father, CIA Spymaster William Colby. Once again, it opens this week at the Screen here in Santa Fe, and Carl will be at the screening on Wednesday at 7 o'clock doing the introduction and Q&A. Thanks for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Okay, thanks so much.